Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for the opportunity of being with you once again. This is Robert Rawson. I'm filling in this morning once again for Brother Ed Castile, who is beside his good wife, Miss Iris, and she is doing much better. Surgery was enjoined this past week, and she has improved much from that time, and we're so thankful that she is on the road to recovery. We thank God for it. We thank you for your thoughts and prayers about it as well. This program, Let the Bible Speak, is brought to you by the Central Academy Church of Christ and the Sardis Church of Christ, in conjunction with the Cortland Church of Christ and the Jackson's Grove Church of Christ. They make possible this program for you each Sunday morning at this time. We trust that you will check your listings and drop by and visit them. Take a Bible in hand and friend with you to discuss these particular matters again after you leave that service, and really enjoy the Bible studies that are done at these local congregations of Churches of Christ. Central Academy, Cortland, Sardis, and Jackson's Grove. You're invited to be a part of those services with them this very morning. My privilege to be on this program is afforded to me by the opportunity that Brother Ed gave me a call and let me know of his difficulties in getting away from the hospital and so forth. And as a result, the time to do the program is just not there available for him. I'm glad to be able to step in at any time and to be able to be of help on this Let the Bible Speak. Let me ask of you to consider the Bible in regard to Jesus and His plan. In Isaiah chapter 9 and at verse 6, Isaiah predicted, "Unto us a son is born, a child is given, a son is born. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Notice, "Of his government there shall be no end. It will be forever." This is said in Isaiah chapter 9 in the midst of a time in the which predictions were made regarding the coming of the Lord. Jesus himself is that Prince of Peace. Described in the New Testament of our Bible, he is indeed the author of peace for you and for me. We find that he taught people the way of God, free from the old law of Moses. He said, "The law said unto you, but I say unto you." Throughout the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus noted, "The law says unto you, Moses said unto you, but I say unto you." And you'll notice that Jesus gives a much more spiritual meaning to the commands of God that we should follow. As we follow him in our daily walk of life, we will have a different way of looking at others and behaving with others and thinking about others in our lives. How thankful we are that Jesus came. In Matthew chapter 1, the announcement of Jesus' birth occurs. And as the prophet is quoted from Isaiah chapter 7 at verse 14, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Notice that Jesus came for that intended purpose, to save us from our sins. Sin, missing the mark, that's the meaning of the original word for sin. The idea of a bowman who is shooting at a target and he misses that bullseye. He misses the target. It may be that to a wide expanse he misses the target altogether. Or it may be that to just a small degree, he misses the bullseye, but he misses the mark that is set. As a result of sin, Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. And as a result of that, the forgiveness of the Lord is wonderful pursuit on our part. We want to recognize that we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23 notes to you and me how important it is for us to leave the ways of sin. Because in Romans 6, verse 23 and 24, it is noted that death is the end of the ways of sin. So we don't want to have that in our lives, being separated from God in spiritual death. We want to be with Him And as a result of that, we find ourselves following God's way and God's teaching so that we might be what He would have us to be. Jesus said in regard to this matter in John 14, beginning at verse 21, particularly verse 23, "If any man will love me, my Father," He said, "will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Having already noted, "My Father will come and manifest himself unto him." He says, "We will come," the Father and the Son, "we will come and make our abode with that man that does what? That loves me and keeps my word, keeps my sayings." Can you honestly note that your daily life and your walk of life keeping the Lord's sayings? Brother Ed delivers to us this particular message, and he cites Bible verses for you and me to follow in our attitude, in our patience, in our love, in our commitment to the Lord, in our ways of salvation that is taught by the gospel. And he'll point out that there are certain things that are taught by others that are not found in the Word of God. They're not recorded there. No one was ever told to do the things that are being said to be done. And he would point that out. And then he would ask of us, follow what Jesus has said. Follow what the Lord has taught. Well, here's the reason for it there in John 14 at 23. "If any man will love me and keep my sayings, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him." I know that the Father and the Son are one in purpose and in aim and in ideals. But uniquely, can you not see, there is the Father and the Son who both come and make their abode with our lives. Of course, as we obey the Lord, the Holy Spirit will be a part of our spiritual walk of life as well. And in Romans chapter 8 and down at verse 24, we note regarding this matter that the Spirit of God comes into our lives and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we become the children of God, obeying the Lord's sayings, the Father will love us, they will come and make their abode with us, and the Holy Spirit is there to bear record. He is a witness to the fact that we are the children of God. This word love is an important word. It's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 by Paul the Apostle as he delivers this message about agape, a love, charity, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, when I say Paul said, or Paul wrote this particular matter, I am in meaning the idea that Paul's got that message from the Holy Spirit himself. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul makes mention of the fact that the words that he speaks unto them are not his own. They're not from man. He says, "The Spirit delivered those things to me, which I speak unto you in words." Words which you can understand, words which you can embrace, words which you can practice in your daily walk of life. The Holy Spirit delivered these words unto me. And thus I deliver them now unto you. Well, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 now, he's telling us what the Holy Spirit said real love is. Let's check a few of those qualities of real love. And let's apply it to the idea of loving the Lord as the Lord loves us. Let's love him and obey what he has to say. He said in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 3, that the idea of love is to be a person who does not think that just because he gives his body to be burned and bestows all his goods to feed the poor, that he has that real love for God. A person could make sacrificial without having the attitude of the love of God and the love for righteousness. As a result of that, if a person was to give his body to be burned, and bestow all his goods to feed the poor, and have not this charity, this love, it profits him nothing. Can we not get that idea in mind? So oftentimes we say of individuals that are on their way to death's door. Perhaps they have already passed away, and at a funeral service it is noted, this was a good man, this was a good woman. Well, there are people who have good qualities. And there are good qualities listed here in 1 Corinthians 13, are there not? A man who gives his body to be burned would bestow all his goods to feed the poor. Would that not be a man recognized as a good man? But do we not have a good man in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius, a Gentile? This man was a good man. He prayed to God always, gave much alms to the people. He was a man who reared his family to love the ways of God. He was a good man. He'd be a good neighbor. We'd love to have him on the street where we live. But Cornelius was told, send to Joppa for one named Simon Peter. He will come and tell you what you ought to do. There was something else that this good man, Cornelius, needed to do. And as Simon Peter arrived, this man, Cornelius, said, we are here, all here before God, to hear things commanded thee of God. What can we do? Peter commanded them to recognize the Lord and believe in him in Acts 10 and verse 43. He then commanded them to be baptized in water in Acts 10 verse 48. And when he explained this to the church leaders later on back in Antioch in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, God has granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. Well, you'll not find the word repent in Acts chapter 10. You'll find where faith is commanded in Acts 10:43. You'll find the command of immersion or baptism in Acts 10:48. This man responded and he obeyed the Lord there, and they referred to it as repented unto life in Acts 11, verse 18. He had been worshiping God under the old patriarch system. He had been bowing before the Lord, and a good man he was. But a good man who was told, Simon will come and tell you what you ought to do. When we find ourselves finding God's word and will, we need to be people and reading God's scripture that tells us that we need to have what it tells us to have. And in this particular measure of 1 Corinthians 13, he tells us to have this kind of love that if you give your body to be burned and bestow all your goods to feed the poor, and you have this kind of love, it's going to benefit you, profit you before God. But if you don't have this kind of love, it does not benefit you at all. So saying this was a good person, and implying since this was a good person, this good person is headed toward heaven. This good person is right before God. Here in Acts chapter 10 is a good man, but he had something else that he needed to do. In your life and mine, let me apply what the Word of God tells me to do and be with the love of God that I have in my heart. That love that we have. Now, Jesus himself illustrated to us what real love is. And before we get to the particular points that are made here of kindness and goodness and loves of the truth and does not behave itself unseemly, and those descriptions given of love in 1 Corinthians 13, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, where it talks about Jesus who loved the church and gave himself for it. In the midst of the discussion here, he's applying what the Holy Spirit told him to write. According to 1 Corinthians 2, he got this message from the Holy Spirit. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, he's writing what the Holy Spirit told him to write. And he's writing it to you wives and your husbands. Love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Here is the idea. He loved the church. The church building, the church sanctuary, as some people say about it, the auditorium. No, he loved the people. He loved the called out. He loved the called out. That word church, ecclesia, means the called out. And as they were called out of sin into the service of God, and they were a part of the body of Christ here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it tells us they did this because they saw and understood to a degree the love that Jesus had for his church and that he gave himself for her. When we find ourselves loving the Lord, as John 14:23 tells us, and keeping his sayings, and the Father will love us, and he and the Son will come and make their abode with us in our lives, in our spiritual walk of lives, in our heart of hearts in our lives, not our blood pump, but that heart within us, that will and that emotion and that will in our lives. The Lord will be there. And along with the Father, he will be there. My Father will love him, he says, and we will come and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Let's be people then who do love the Lord. And as a result of loving the Lord, as he gave himself for the church, Ephesians 5:25, let's be people who give ourselves to the service of others, to the service of God first, and then to the service of others as we live upon this earth. As we do that, we'll find ourselves loving the Lord in such a degree that we give ourselves for. You know, Jesus gave himself for the church, but we're asked to give ourselves even for the brotherhood. When you read in 1 John, well, you read in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world, so loved the world, so loved. How deeply, how thoroughly, how fulfilling, God so loved you and me. He so loved you and me. Did he love the cosmos? Did he love the earth, the things of the earth? Or it is that he loved the people of the earth. Oh, he loved what he created, and for their unique purpose, the cattle on a thousand hills. He loves to see things grow and develop like he wants them to do, like he intended for them to do. At the same time, there's a wonderful so loved for mankind. He so loved the world. Well, over in 1 John, not John 3:16, but in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We're told that as Jesus so loved the world, so we ought to love the brotherhood and give our lives for it. If we're called upon to be persecuted unto death because we serve the Lord faithfully and the brotherhood is at stake, love the Lord enough to give your life. Love the Lord enough to leave this world. You know, I faced some of those moments of time some 16 years ago. I had a major heart attack one morning. As a result of that, I thought at the time in my mind, as I had that great pain in my chest and in my back at the same moment of time, it did feel like two anvils that were pressing in and out from my chest and into my back. Obviously, I survived that. Obviously, by the good grace of God and good medical records of that day and time, I was able to survive that with the surgery that was done. And here I am 16 years later at this point in time. Find ourselves enjoying this relationship with the Lord. But I thought in regard to this matter, Lord, I believe I've tried to serve you. I may have been mistaken about it, but I believe that I've tried to follow your word and follow what you taught, and I deeply love you. But more than this, if this is my time of coming to meet you, if this is my time of leaving this earth, I remember being in prayer at that moment in time saying, Lord, I trust you. I know that you will raise up others to take my place. You'll raise up others to do this work. You'll raise up others to speak on the radio and to teach and to write articles and to preach the gospel in the pulpit. You'll raise up others to carry on your work. Your work does not depend on just me being here on earth preaching and teaching your word. This love for the Lord was a part of my heart and life. And I'm thankful that it was. Thankful that it is today. And here we are on this moments that we find ourselves letting the Bible speak, that we find ourselves honoring the way of the Lord and His right way. And Jesus said, if you love me and you keep my sayings, my Father will love you and we will come and make our abode with you. They'll live in our daily walk of life. They'll live in our heart of hearts. Spiritually speaking, they are those who are present, and the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Read there in Romans chapter 8, beginning at the full context of verse 16 through verse 26, you'll read regarding this wonderful Spirit of God who bears record, bears witness that we are the children of God. Now, if we find ourselves having that kind of love for the Lord that we ought to have, and Paul identified by definition and by traits in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we can't just think that we're sacrificial, giving our bodies to be burned, bestowing all our goods to feed the poor. We must be righteous before God. Well, that's not necessarily true. Without this love, he said, it profits you nothing. Should I fail to try to be a good person and a helpful person? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying to add this one quality that makes it right with God, makes it right before Him. The mercy of God is said to save us in Titus 3 and verse 5, not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. By that mercy He is noted in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, by that wonderful mercy of God, He has the way to protect us and care for us that we might continue the race, continue the service, continue to be faithful people to the Lord. We find ourselves by this mercy of God being taught His will, putting into practice what He says. And as we put into practice this love of 1 Corinthians 13, He says, love suffereth long and is kind. It's not easily provoked. It does not behave itself in an unseemly, ruthless, sinful way of life. It believes in the truth. It loves the truth. It wants the truth to be told in a matter. When you're riding down the highway, do you want the signs to reveal the truth to you? If you saw a sign on the side of the road, maybe several of them, as you approach a set of bridges, that the bridges are out, stop, use this detour. The bridges ahead are out. The bridges have been washed out. Are you appreciative of the fact, or do you just go right merrily on down the road, past those signs, and then on top of those bridges you find that have been washed out? Now you're down in the ravine. Now you're down in the water. Now you're down in life-threatening situations. But you love the fact that those signposts tell you something true. Well, if you love the signpost enough that you want to spare your physical life and you want to appreciate those guys who set up those signs and didn't put them down on the road, but they held them up and they anchored them so that they'd be visible to everybody driving by. The bridges are out up ahead, the detour. Do not go this way. This is a closed road. The bridges are out up ahead. And you appreciate that. How much more spiritually should you and I appreciate when the Word of God, the Bible, tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world, John 3 at verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, might have life, might be saved. Notice that we appreciate the signpost, spiritually speaking, of God's Word. telling us that we have a real hope of the soul, that we can measure up to God's way. We can enjoy that relationship with the Lord because we follow His righteous way in our daily walk of life. As a result of that, we're people who have that love for the Lord put into practice in believing in Him. But you know, in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it is noted, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must believe that He is, and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Is there something beyond faith that we need yet to do? Is there something beyond faith? So important it is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if we have that faith, should we not also put into practice Jesus' teaching about repent of your sins, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5? He told those people at that day and time, He said, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, here were people who believed in the Lord, as we read in John 12 and verse 41 through 43. We read of people who believed in the Lord, but for fear they'd be cast out of the synagogue, they would not confess Him, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. These people listening to Jesus as He was here in His public ministry, they believed on Him, but for fear of being cast out of the synagogue, they would not confess Him. Did the Lord want them to confess Him? Yes, He did. Well, confession is more than that faith, isn't it? Well, it's that faith that is put into our words, put into our statements, put into our belief. We find ourselves confessing Him. You know, when we find ourselves in faith and repentance and confession, don't we need also to follow His teaching of the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he that believeth not shall be condemned. To not believe is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. No wonder it would be said by the Lord there in Mark 16, 15, and 16, that you preach this gospel to the whole world, and those that believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who do not believe will be condemned. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what person without faith is going to obey the Lord? Follow the Lord's way. Follow the Lord's way in repenting of sin, Luke 13, 3. Follow the Lord's way in confessing the Lord, Matthew 10, 32. Let's be people then who are baptized into Christ and find ourselves in a new relationship. Paul talked about that relationship to the Romans in Romans chapter 6. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's what some of you are teaching here at Rome. You're teaching us to continue in sin that grace may be more and more and more in our lives. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with Him by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. Where did that newness of life begin, Paul? In Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, he says it began when we were buried with Him by baptism into His death and raised to walk in newness of life. If I love Him like I should, will there be anything He's asked of me that I will not put into practice in my service of the Lord? Thank you for the opportunity of being with you today to study with you from the Bible. These verses that I've listed to you, I trust that you will consider and that you will be a person who looks at them in the sense of looking at their way and following what is said. If you do not understand it, that's one matter. But if you can see it and follow these verses, you can find yourself enjoying this right way of life. This is Robert Rawson filling in today for Brother Ed Castile, who is yet caring for his good wife. He'll be back with you very soon on this program. Thank you for your time today. This is Robert Rawson.